today's podcast all about drafting the best first boot is sponsored by DraftKings.com. Makes sense. Football's your passion, and you know all the players and the teams, their strengths and weaknesses. Now put that knowledge to the test and play for your shot in the $1 million top prize at DraftKings.com. None of these players that we're talking about today even sniffed $1 million, but you can. It's just part of the $5 million in total prizes they're doling out for this week one contest. None of these players that we're talking about even lasted 1 week. DraftKings.com is the destination for 1 week fantasy football. 1 week fantasy means no season long commitments. And you know the people we're talking about today were nowhere near being one season long in the time that they were on Survivor. Just play whenever you want with the players you want. Pick your contest, draft your players, and follow your team live. You could renew old rivalries by challenging your friends and family in a private league to prove you're the superior GM, or join an existing league and go head-to-head with friends, coworkers, and fantasy players from all across the country. So hurry to DraftKings.com now. Choose your players, and you could seriously cash in week one. Use the promo code ROB. Play for free with your first deposit. That's code ROB to play for free for your share of the $5 million in total prizes in the week one contest only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here, and it may be the Survivor preseason, but we are still continuing our summer off-season of podcasts, and today we're talking about a subject that many people have pontificated about for quite some time, of the best first boots in the history of Survivor, and we have an esteemed panel of guests with us here today as we are going to draft who would be the winner in the Survivor All First Boot season. All right, joining us today to talk about it. First, let me welcome in a woman who has worked hand-in-hand with me this summer to produce all of the Survivor off-season content. She has vetted guests. She has worked on helping me book the summer schedule. And she is getting ready to bring you her archetypes for millennials and Gen Xers. Please welcome back to the podcast, Angie Kant. Angie, how are you?
I'm good, Rob. How are you doing?
How was your summer?
My summer has been action-packed. It's been really, really good so far.
Okay. What has been the hardest archetype to cast to a millennial or a Gen Xer so far?
I haven't even started, Rob.
Okay,
I need to go in fresh and do it one big crunch. I can't take little breaks. I can't do a piecemeal.
All right. Then back with us today, a man who came up on the Fear the Walking Dead podcast. I'm not even sure if he knows about that yet this week. The great Kurt Clark.
Is it in danger of being canceled?
It might be. Like, it might be.
No, I've not been watching the Fear of the Walking Dead, so yeah, was not aware that my name came up, although my ears were burning.
There was a pretty good Kurt Clark joke on the Fear of the Walking Dead podcast this week. I recommend that you check it out.
Okay.
Okay. All right. And also joining us back here on the podcast, a woman who is certainly a first ballot RHAP blog Hall of Famer. Welcome back, the illustrious Sarah Freeman.
Hi, thank you, Rob. I get promoted every time I come on the podcast with these introductions.
Yes. Sarah, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm really excited that the summer is almost over and my kids are going back to school next week.
Yeah. So the kids are going back to school. The millennials and Gen Xers are going out to the island. They already went. But for our intents and purposes that we are getting ready to go.
Gearing up.
Yeah. Only but 4 weeks to go for the Survivor offseason. All Gen Xers on the panel here today. No millennials.
All Gen Xers.
Yes.
Which should be.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yep.
So this is the Gen Xer's point of view. We'll see if maybe, Mike Bloom and Jordan Parhar could round up the millennials version of who are the best first boots. But this is something that we've talked about, you know, every season where in a couple of weeks, somebody will be the first person kicked off. And then we'll talk about how is this person as a first boot? We just had it with Survivor Australia. Where does this person rank among first boots? And people have always kicked around this idea of an all first boot season. So the object of today's draft is going to be, we're imagining a world where that there are going to be all the first boots in one season. We've removed a couple of the returning players who would be sort of like obvious first picks to go in this draft. And so we're going to put them all out there. And in this fictitious world, there's going to be an all first boot season. We're trying to find the winner. And at the very end, we're going to let you guys vote. Which team has the winner of the first boot season in it? Is it one of the four teams that we draft here today? Or is it the field, the people that we didn't end up drafting? Kurt, as the person who knows what's fair and unfair, how does that sound?
That sounds perfectly splendid.
Perfectly splendid. All right. Yeah. Angie, was this your idea originally to draft the first boots?
It was. I enjoyed the underrated player draft you did a couple of seasons ago so much. I've been racking my brain trying to recreate it. And and I wanted to be part of it this time because I'm a greedy little bitch.
Sarah, was there anything about first boots in particular that spoke to you?
As people know, I tend to be a fan of the older women in Survivor, and obviously a lot of them have been in the first boots. So this is the podcast for me.
Okay. Well, this is a very straightforward draft. There's no points or anything like that. It's just, if there was this first boot season, how would it go? In this season, I think we're also pretending that these 28, 29 people, there's like some sort of Survivor Australia-like, you know, three tribes of nine or whatever the number is, and they're just going to play it out. It's a massive number of the season, but somebody has to win, and we are trying to figure out who that person is. We're not going to worry about what the tribe breakdowns are. It's just like sort of gun to your head. These are your five people that you're picking. If they win, you live. If not, you die. It's very huge stakes.
Wow.
This is why I blog. We don't have these kind of stakes in blog.
Yeah.
Okay. Podcasting's dangerous.
All right, so let's talk through our roster here, because we ended up pulling some people off the shelf, as I alluded to. Angie, could you tell us who is missing from the board of First Boots?
Okay, so pretty much all of the returnee seasons, we pulled those people out, because as you said, it was a little bit too obvious as first picks, and we felt that it wasn't an even playing field, because they had already played the game. So that would be like, actually, I think, Kurt, you've got the full list that
yeah.
That
give
has
it to us chronologically. Who is not in play?
Chronologically, great. So I believe then that chronologically we're talking about Tina Wesson,
yes.
Obviously from the your second season.
She would be the number one pick off the board, I would imagine.
Yes, we are also talking about Johnny Fairplay, even though he was asked to be voted out, but for Micronesia. We are looking.
I heard that was a quit. Was that a quit or that was he was kicked off?
Yeah, it was a keep going. Sugar. Yeah. Sugar, yeah. From Heroes versus Villains. We are talking.
I'm kidding, in case Johnny Fairplay is listening. I don't want to get like a million tweets and text messages.
Francesca from Francesca 2.0, to be clear, from Caramon.
Right.
We are including Francesca.
We're 1.0. Only drafting one Francesca today.
Correct. As well as, we've got, we are kind of removing Rupert Bonham. From Heroes versus Villains, Blood versus Water, and Vetus from the latest season of Cambodia.
Yeah. I still say it would be fun to leave Sugar in there to see where she would go off the board, but just for the sake of not getting too confusing, we will take her out. We had a little bit of a huddle before we started over whether Jervis's cousin, Marissa, was going to be allowed in or not. We ended up having a last-second consensus on this, that she would be included. Angie, why did you say that we should leave off Jervis's cousin? I always say Jervis's cousin. I know it's his niece.
I wouldn't correct you, Rob.
Yes, that's a TEOS bit. Yeah.
I felt that people that had relatives who had played Survivor before and had heard about it for years ad nauseum before they came and played their first game had an unfair advantage. So I didn't think it was a level playing field. That was my issue with that. Plus, that season's really weird in that, you know, Rupert goes first, then Candace goes first, and then Marissa is the actual first boot, but not really. So it just seemed kind of convoluted.
Oh, so then by that logic, so then Nadia Anderson isn't on this list either?
Well, when Nadia played her first time, her sister had not played her first time either. So to me, that was an even playing field for everybody.
Okay, so she is in the mix. Nadia Anderson is eligible. Okay.
And to be clear also, from Palau, Technically, Jolanda Jones was the first actual vote out in Boot, but we are also including Wanda and Jonathan from that season.
Okay, so we have 29 different people that we are going to be choosing from here today in the draft. We will each be picking five people. It will be a snake draft, and the only wrinkle is that in the fifth and final round, we will repeat the order of the first round, which is Sarah has the first pick, Angie is second, I am third, Kurt is fourth, and you will see that the picks will reflect that again in the fifth round. So Sarah has the first pick and also the final pick in the draft. So Kurt doesn't get totally shafted and have to pick fourth and 20th. Okay. All right. And without further ado, I think that we are ready to open up the Survivor First Boot all-time draft. And Sarah, the pick is yours.
Okay. Well, there's a couple of really obvious people. I'm going with the person I think is the most obvious, and that would be Nadia Anderson.
Nadia Anderson, yes. Yeah. Okay, here we go.
She's genetically identical and has all the same life experience as another winner. So she's got both nature and nurture in her favor here.
Yes.
So, you know, she's got all those traits Natalie had.
Yes, she has the pedigree, certainly.
Yes.
I personally think that's going to make her a bigger target. She actually was like around number 14 in my list of wants for my draft. So you can have her.
Okay. Nadia Anderson, the first pick off the board. Angie, did you like that pick?
I did. That was my number one. But I agree with Kurt that she's absolutely going to be targeted in first boot season.
They're going to need her. She's so athletic. You know, look at all these other people on the cast. They're going to need Nadia on their tribe. So she's going to the merge. And once she's in the merge, she'll be fine.
Yeah, she's an extremely athletic woman, which is, I think, a precious commodity, especially in the pre-merge game. Do you feel like that she was just especially unlucky in San Juan del Sur, or do you think that she was bad with, we have Josh, he's like a girl, he's like one of the girls, that really upset him?
Why wasn't Dale also targeting her? Because like he...
Yeah, Dale...
That was the Amazing Race.
Preseason, he said, hey, Amazing Racer is out here, she plays dirty, we got to get rid of her.
Well, hopefully you don't draft anybody who was on The Amazing Race then, Sarah. Or who watched The Amazing Race, I mean.
Somebody else who hates The Amazing Race.
Yeah.
I did just think it was one of those things. And if you had switched Natalie and Nadia, then it would have gone the other way if they been on opposite tribes.
Sarah, do you feel like that she also learned a lot watching Natalie in season 29?
Yeah, I mean, she watched that season probably sitting next to the winner every episode. So I'm pretty sure she's got some good insights, especially with handling the post-merge game, which other people are going to lack.
Yeah, it's a great pick. Really strong pick to get us started on the draft. Only Kurt is really down on it. Kurt, anything else you want to say about why that Nadia is a bad pick?
You know what? I think she might get Francesca. She might be the first person out twice in a row for her gameplay.
Wow. I mean, these are all the first boots. You think that the first boots have an axe to grind against her?
Somebody is going to potentially be the, and hopefully we'll see where Francesca falls in this, but going to be the second first time boot.
Right.
With all the people on this cast, I can't imagine that Nadia is the one who's going to generate the enmity.
Right. You have to imagine that in this all first boot season, I mean, she is, you know, a giant among these people in terms of her gameplay ability. And there's going to be, if these tribes are, say, tribes of nine first boots, you know, you have at least like three or four incredibly wacky problem people that are going to be on these tribes. I can't imagine that they have the wherewithal to get rid of Nadia.
Okay. We shall see.
Yeah. I think it's a good pick. I think it's a good pick, Sarah. All right. So, Angie, you have the number two pick in the draft overall. Angie is on the clock. All right.
I'm incredibly stressed out going second. Well, because Nadia was my number one, and now I'm doubting whether or not I should do my number two.
Do you want to trade down? Do you want to trade the pick?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I do not. I'm going to go with something that you guys are not expecting because I want to make sure that I get her.
Okay.
And because for the reasons that Nadia is going to be targeted, this one will not. I am going with Marisa from Samoa.
Okay.
Dang it. That was my number one, Angie.
Yeah.
Oh, I had a high
Mauricia.
Well.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. So she got
she
kicked out of the
She could have been
dumbass
in a final two.
Yeah, she got kicked out of the Dumbass Girl Alliance for being too smart. So that's why I like her.
She was very, too smart.
Very, too smart, very astute, didn't take any crap from anyone. She was she was a little grouchy with Ben, but I'm assuming she's improved her social game since then, that has kind of haunted her, and now she's like, I'm going to get along with everyone.
Okay. All right.
That's my pick.
Was there anything else that you saw from her that made you feel like that she had winner upside?
I don't think that anyone would be targeting her because she wasn't a super athletic threat. She was, she wasn't useless, but at the same time, she wasn't over the top, huge threat to anybody. And okay. I don't think in the return first boot season, I think people would see that she got screwed by Russell. I don't think they would see that she got screwed because she was smart.
Angie,
don't go there, Rob.
If she starts off the season on Galoo, how does she finish?
Gosh, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Middle of the pack, probably. Seems like it's probably like Kelly Sharbaugh territory at the very least. So, all right. I think Marissa.
I don't think any of these people can actually win. That's the sad part about
doing
this.
Somebody has to. It's all the first boots.
This is the season Mark the Chicken wins.
Can I just say the biggest reservation I have about Marissa is that Russell Hantz, I think it was at the reunion, he declared that she would have won if he hadn't voted her out first.
Oh, Hantz curse.
Has he ever made an accurate winner prediction? The Hantz curse.
Yeah. So I do think that she would be fine. I'm not sure if what her upside is. I think it's certainly a solid pick. Sarah, do you feel good or bad about this?
I'm okay not having her.
You're okay not having her. Kurt, you had her number one on your board as well.
Yeah, I did. And there's something that you had said actually on your Australian Survivor podcast. You were talking about first boots. Like, there's some people who rightfully were, sent packing. And there's some people who got what you could maybe consider a raw deal. And I considered Marissa kind of falling into that raw deal category. And I think, she was completely, gone because of Russell. And I think it's their game. If you look at how her game ended up because of a single person, I like her chances a second time through when that person's not there.
Yeah.
So I remember even during that season, I think she was one of my winner picks then. So I welcomed the chance to possibly have her this time. And Angie stole her out from under me.
Yeah, Angie, I think it's a good pick because she's such a blank slate. I mean, there's so many of these first boots that in 42 minutes of television that we have seen enough that we can disqualify them from ever being a Survivor winner. We know that they are just they are a terrible player. She's just such a mystery and a blank slate. Who knows, she could be, is she Kelly Wentworth? We have no idea. So we know she's not a disaster. That's all we know.
That's what I was thinking too. She's a giant question mark and I like her.
Yeah. Okay, good. It's fine. Perfectly good pick to start off number two overall. Okay. I have the third pick overall. And for me, I am going to continue the trend of women here, and I will have another woman come off the board. And I am going to go back to a person that I think got an incredibly raw deal. And I think that when you take a look at these first boots, I'd like to take a look at who had sort of like really weird extenuating circumstances that caused them to end up being the first boot on their season. And I go back to, in Survivor Panama, you had a tribe of four people, an incredibly small tribe, and they were divided up by gender and age. So a real millennials versus Gen X type deal. And you had one of the greatest Survivor players of all time in Cerie Fields with her back in a corner. And she ends up taking it out, just basically trying to survive her first 3 days in the game and getting rid of somebody that I think would have been an incredibly capable Survivor player. Give me Tina Shear, Timber Tina, number three overall.
Wow. Really? Mm.
Yeah. She's really good. She's a nice lady.
I have her at the top of my deadlift.
Why?
Timber Tina. Because she was loud and annoying. And nobody liked her. She was very capable at surviving.
People liked her.
She was tough. She had that kind of... Sorry, go ahead, Sarah.
No, people liked her because she was on a tribe with three very nice women who liked everybody. But she was kind of annoying This is the season I've watched most recently, and there's nothing there that makes me think, oh yeah, if she'd just got past that first hurdle, she'd have been fine. You know, obviously she has some extenuating circumstances with the grieving for her son, mm-hmm. but she just seems socially clueless. I mean, the reason she got voted off first is because Ruth Marie and Melinda had all talked the first day and go, you want to make an alliance? You want to make an alliance? Okay. She didn't do that. It didn't occur to her to think, you know, no one's come and talked to me about who they're voting for. She just assumed everyone was voting for Suri. Mm. So I think that's a bad sign. I mean, I'm sure she could do well and go deep, but she's not winning. She's going to be the goat who gets to the end that way, because everyone knows she's not going to win.
I really felt very strongly about her when I rewatched this for the Evolution of Strategy, and I thought that she was a person, again, I think that among these early season women, I think that strength is at such a premium if you have a woman who is going to really help you in these challenges. And she was strong and she was a provider. And maybe you're right about the strategy thing, but I do think that she's likable. I think that she is somebody that might be a little rough around the edges, but I think that people would open up to her.
I think she's going to be the pillar in a guy's alliance and go out fifth. That's her fate.
Hey, look, in that first boot season, you get close enough, who knows what could happen.
Okay.
All right, give me Timbertina at number three. All right, Kurt, the tabulator, Clark, the first of two picks in a row for you here in the first boot draft.
Yeah, I have to change up my strategy a little bit here because some of the females the females on my list are dropping.
Pool gets thin.
It gets thin fast. And then I'm actually going to start off with the males are a precious commodity. And when we look at the first boot drafts, I'm actually going to start off. It's kind of a cheap pick, Rob. I'm going from your season, Ryan Eakin.
Oh, my God.
That was pretty cheap.
Kurt, this is such a brutal pick. This is terrible.
Really?
He could never win a season. He'd be the first boot out of this season.
I think that with modeling comes maturity. I think that Ryan has done a lot of growing in the in the past decade or so.
Have you run into him?
No, but I have faith that he was just a young dumb kid his first time around, and that I think that he would do a lot better the second time around. I think that especially if I want my group of five to go deep, you need some challenge prowess that he could now
he
bring to the table.
He wasn't good in the challenge. That's why he got voted off.
It was more like, agility and balance. So I have faith that that Ryan Eakin 2.0 would turn the game around, and actually he would go pretty deep.
Mm-hmm. He was really somebody who knew almost nothing about the strategy of the game. I remember him telling me when I was talking about I really love Survivor. I watch it. He's like, yeah, well, it's on the same night as SmackDown. So I don't watch Survivor. I have to watch professional wrestling. And but he was very into, being on TV. He also, if you want to make the case for him, he really did get screwed in that Roger ended up getting a good hate into him from Ponderosa from before the game started, because Ryan got a bit of the gastrointestinal distress from the Ponderosa food and used to have to use the facilities many times at nighttime. And I guess he stomped up and down the stairs, according to Roger, and it kept Roger up all night. And he really had a good hate into Ryan by the time the game started. So I guess that's a point for maybe under different circumstances, he might be okay.
I have a feeling I didn't take anybody's first or second or third or even fourth round draft pick with this one.
No, not even with my men.
Yeah. So, okay.
He was about middle of my list.
Of my list. Yeah. On my personal first boot list, I have him very low because I got to see the full brunt of how bad. Maybe it didn't come across in 90 minutes of television.
Right.
I mostly didn't want to pick him because I knew that Rob would relentlessly tease me if I did.
I just wanted to hear the sound clip again. Let's be completely honest here.
Okay, well, it was a good pick for the soundboard in that case. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Ryan Aiken. Wow. Who would have thought a first round pick in the first boot draft?
And we see why the Clark curse is a thing.
Yes.
So is my second pick.
Okay.
So Kim. Just
That's
jumping
a good
right
pick.
In with that one.
I like the So Kim. I think that is a pretty solid pick. Small tribe and a six-person tribe. She ends up getting sort of burned on the whole neutral box type thing, but it's really Joaquin who picks her to be the person who goes into this with him. And I'm not sure exactly if there were other circumstances at play there, but I did feel like that she could have been a good player going into that season, Kurt.
I think, especially the fact, and maybe this starts to edge on why we aren't counting second players. There was something that the producers saw in her that asked her to come back when she wasn't able to do Blood versus Water. Mm-hmm. So there's something there that we still haven't gotten a chance to see. I think that she suffers much more from either the, not so much the raw deal side of things as much as the, she made a learnable mistake. In which case I think that it's something that she would easily be able to overcome as opposed to maybe a personality deficit that she would be fighting. So that is why I have her as my second pick.
All right. Angie, what's your feeling on So Kim?
She was third on my list. So I'm in agreement with Kurt. I felt like she got thrust into a situation she wasn't fully mentally prepared to deal with, and she kind of froze on the spot. And other than that, she seemed very capable. I really liked her chances going into the season. So yeah, I think she's got a really good chance.
What was she, secretly smart bikini babe?
I think I had her as my Erin Brockovich.
Erin Brockovich.
Actually. Yeah, I did really like her, and she let me down.
Sarah, do you have any strong feelings on So Kim?
No, I mean, I understand the pick. My concerns is that she is a bad liar. I mean, she had time to think about the story they were going to tell about the boxes, and that's the best you could come up with. Mm-hmm. And also, she was targeting Carolyn, saying she was weak because she was an older woman, and a lot of older women on this season, so they might not like that line of thinking.
Yeah, but against the weak field here in all first boot season, I feel like that just going back to what we were saying with Marissa from Samoa, that I don't think we have evidence that she is a terrible player. I don't think we have enough to disqualify her from potentially being able to do something in the season of first boots.
I mean, I think she could go far. I don't have her as a, I wasn't going to draft her, but I had her as somebody who was, you know, a logical pick as I started getting desperate.
I mean, she's 13 on my first boot list, which includes like Tina and Johnny Fairplay and the returnees on it. So that's sort of like a middle of the road. I have her as a first boot. All right. Now it's back to me with the number six pick on the board to add to my squad with Timbertina. And for me, I'm looking at these people who are the blank slates, the people that potentially might have something. We just don't know that they're enough of a wild card. And I go back to another woman who really was the reason why I started ranking the first boots in the evolution of strategy. That when we got to Fiji, that we saw this person, I said, she seems fine. She seems like a perfectly capable person. Does this person have Natalie White upside? Who knows? We just don't know. I think she was unlucky that all of a sudden that people just got a name. It was her. And the next thing you know, she's out of the game. And that is why I will take Jessica DeBenn with my second pick at number six.
That is an excellent choice.
Who knows? Do we know anything about her?
No,
I just rewatched this episode moments before this podcast because I wanted to see what was it about her that made her a target. It was just the nature of the challenge. She didn't untie the knots fast enough. Other than that, she was really likable. Everyone on her tribe was saying how much, you know, it was going to hurt to vote her out because they really got along so well. She was very, she seemed like she was smart. She just was on the wrong side of a losing challenge.
Yeah. I mean, you could have just as easily had, you know, Michelle from Koh Rong go out under similar circumstances and like, oh, like we lost the first challenge. Okay, vote her out on day three. And then that's it. You have no idea who this person is.
It was just that Jessica and Rita were seen as the two weakest, and Rita just had a little bit more of a majority of friends.
Yeah. So Jessica DeBenn I will give her a shot here in the first boot season. Who knows? She could go far. Kurt or Sarah, do either of you have a case against Jessica DeBenn?
Yeah, she was... I've cons for everyone. I warned you of this.
Yes.
She was in the Alliance of Three in a nine-person tribe. So she's got the Brad Culpepper downside there. Yeah. Okay. She's worse than Brad Culpepper, in fact. He at least had four.
Rocky said it was going to be fine.
Yeah, but that's the other thing. She was in an alliance with Rocky. That was her top three. So maybe not the best instincts there.
Okay, maybe not great instincts. That certainly is fair. But we've seen great players get on the wrong side of the numbers to start off a season and come back from it.
Yeah, but against Rocky.
And could she have beat Rocky? She could. Therefore, what's wrong with that logic?
If she got him to the end, which, did Rocky get to the end? No.
No.
He was lucky they let him be on the jury.
Did anybody in that Alliance of Three get to the end? No. So, yeah, I think we can say maybe not the best instincts.
Who was the third person? Erica?
Yes, who went last, I think. So,
Kurt, Erica was the person who came in last on our 424 Survivor poll, right?
What? It could. I'd have to. I think there were a lot of zeros. There were a lot of zeros.
She was, I think, for intents and purposes, I think that she was the most forgettable player in the entire history of Survivor. So even the people that were first,
not even a joke.
Yeah, they got. They weren't even like. She wasn't even thought up to be a joke vote by anybody. She was just like nobody even thought to ever cast a vote for her out of the entire 424 name list.
Wow, I'm pretty sure that's her. Erica all of a sudden now. That seems really unfair. We need to do another podcast and draft her.
next summer.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So anything else about Jessica DeBenn?
I got nothing for you.
Not Jessica DeBenn Browning? Okay. All right. Angie, you have your second pick, number 7 overall. Where are you going to go?
I got to go with King Darnell.
King Darnell?
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a strong pick.
I really liked him coming into the preseason, and I thought he just got a little bit overwhelmed by some strong personalities when things started not going his way. He panicked a little bit. I think his second time out there, he's going to be everything that we need him to be.
Yeah. Because
to me, like, he's the only person out of this whole list of first boots where I put a little bit of the strong-ish, the social-ish, the smart-ish. Everyone else was like one thing, two things, maybe. And I thought he's a weak triple threat, but he is a triple threat.
Okay. Angie trusts her gut on this one.
And right now, my gut tells me, go use the bathroom.
Yeah. This was a weakness in my own preparation for this, that I'm working off of my list from the Evolution of Strategy, and by picking a season 32 person, got my one person, the one person who was eligible for this draft that was not on my board.
Means I win.
I don't know. I should have gone with King Darnell earlier, but good on you, Angie.
I was surprised it took this long for him to go, actually.
Yeah,
me too.
It was between Ryan and Darnell for me.
Darnell would have been the better pick. It's a low bar, but Darnell would have been the better pick.
Yes, he would have. Can anybody make the case against Darnell why he would not fare well in the all first boot season?
He listens to his gut. His gut only tells him when it's time for bathroom breaks.
I guess so.
He's going to struggle with that.
He did wilt under pressure when people started gang up on him.
He lost had the a little goggles.
Yeah, he had a little bit of that wounded puppy look. He started to cry. You can't do that. You got to rally.
Mm-hmm. He may be too nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was on the outs. He said he was at the bottom. I mean, it wasn't just the goggles that were the reason he went home. He wasn't at the bottom of his tribe. So
I don't know, but I remember Kyle Jason saying, like, oh, the reason why we had to get rid of Darnell was because he was such a nice guy, and I knew that guy would win if we kept him in the game. And, you know, he says a lot of things. So
he
I
does
don't know.
Say a lot of things.
I don't know how much you could take of what he's saying is canon. But, I mean, at least he did put that out there as that was a reason why they wanted to get rid of him, that he was too much of a threat.
Good enough for me?
Yeah. I think it's a great pick. I think it's a really, really strong pick. And for me, I think that these seasons where we start with four people in a tribe, six people on a tribe, I feel like I give those people more of the benefit of the doubt a lot of times, where it's just like, it has to be somebody. It's a smaller group. That's why I like Tina so much, where she got voted out of a tribe of four people, whereas if she's in a tribe of eight people, I don't think she gets voted out in that spot. So these people from the six-person tribes, with the exception of Jessica DeBenn, who got voted out of a nine-person tribe, that was also just bad luck.
Yeah, you're a softie when it comes to the four tribe season.
Yes, yes. All right. Sarah, you have the first of back-to-back picks here at 8 and 9. Where are you going to go?
Okay, well, actually, one of my top three most likely winners is still in it, much to my surprise. So I'm going to go with this more obscure one, but Brooke Geraghty from Vanuatu.
Ooh, Brooke Geraghty, Brooke Bourgeois. All right, make the case for a crazy Brooke here.
Okay, he was strong, he was smart, it was, again, one of those slightly fluky seasons where he went out, partly the younger men didn't appreciate the fact that their muscles weren't needed, so that the fat alliance could
fat
just
five,
get rid
yes.
of him. Yeah, that was it. He's 39 now, so he's still going to be reasonably athletic, one assumes. He's going to be one of the few people this season who is going to default to that alpha male role, which mm-hmm. can be dangerous, but we've just seen Jeremy pull it off. He's going to be a valuable addition to any alliance just because of that. He was at Coach's wedding, so he's still watching. He's still connected to Modern Survivor players. You know, he's got the pre-game alliance going.
Okay. Kurt, now you've been going to these charity events for, you know, as long as I've known you. Have you had any run-ins with Brooke Geraghty? Could you give a first-person account of Brooke?
I actually haven't, but as I learned at Hearts of Reality a couple weeks ago, just because I don't recognize them doesn't mean they weren't on a show. So as far as I know, I have not met Brooke. As far as I knew until I returned from Orlando, I hadn't met Nick Sarcevic from Big Brother, and apparently I had. I'm not going to recognize them. Brooke was actually, I probably would have snagged him at my next pick had Sarah not. Yeah. For the exact same reason.
Because he's exactly the same as Ryan Aiken. Why not? You could have had bookends.
He is not the same as Ryan Aiken.
Does Brooke have a sound bite? No.
No, he does not. So he's
Brooke
not the same,
stayed on the balance beam.
Okay, Angie, break the tie here. What's the verdict on Brooke?
I am in on Brooke, but my question for Sarah is this. She was so hard on Jessica for not being able to do math when Brooke did exactly the same thing.
Aha!
Yeah, but Brooke assumed he couldn't be voted off because... Actually, wait, didn't they think Bubba was with them or something like that? I think there was somebody they thought was with them that wasn't. I can't remember.
Yeah, the Sarge guy, Sarge. Drill Sergeant?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they thought they had somebody.
But he didn't confirm. He said, let me get back to you. And then we never saw what happened after that.
Well, he probably told them.
When somebody says that.
Remember I asked you to let me know before?
Yeah. Just like Lil.
This podcast is going to be extended by 10 minutes with all Rob's new soundboard play games.
No, okay. I'm very high on Brooke. I like the question marks, and he was definitely high up on my list to go.
All right. Well, Brooke is bottom six on my first boot
really?
List. Yeah. But, you know, what?
Okay. I don't see why he's so low, but okay.
There are some real weirdos, Robin. You've got Brooke down there with them.
Look,
I can guess.
I've met most
of
these weirdos, Angie. So, all right. Sarah, you get another pick here in a row, the number 9 pick overall on the board.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to go... I'm torn between two people. I'm trying to think which ones. I'm going to go with Marissa Peterson.
Okay. Jervis's niece, yeah. Marissa. I think that's a pretty good pick. Why do you like Marissa?
Well, she was voted off through no fault of her own. You know, it was entirely Jervis's fault she went.
Well,
yeah, it was entirely Jervis's fault.
I disagree. It was entirely Jervis's fault. I mean, what happens is on the mat where Brad Culpepper talks about how, oh, well, you know, it's like hard. Like, maybe I should throw a challenge because my wife's over there. And she says something like, oh, well, you better not be on my team or something like that, where she says something and then Brad Culpepper is like, oh, we got to get rid of her.
One slip of the tongue in minute one of the game.
She didn't do a lot, but Brad Culpepper had a good hate into her after she said that on the mat to start the game. She got a little bit of the Jervis trash talk vibe.
Slip of the tongue. It's in the blood. Speaking in tongues, you know, it's...
She also kickstarted the FUBC movement.
On Redemption Island, sure.
Which I think is a point in her favor. And she's still young, she's athletic, all that stuff. Nice person by all accounts too.
Yeah. Okay. Angie, do you have a counter argument? You did not even want Marissa to be included in this list. Is it because you thought she was too good?
No, I thought she had an unfair advantage and I didn't think she was, you know, she was not on my list to draft. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Kurt, any strong feelings one way or the other on Marissa?
Not really. I think when we decided right before the podcast that we would include her, it honestly didn't impact my order at all. I welcome Sarah to take her.
I forget the feeling also. I think she would have voted out Jervis if it came down to it in that season. I think that she's interesting. I don't know what her upside is. I think she got kind of hosed on the Brad Culpepper has the Five Guys Alliance. And then also, if you remember in that season, it was Tribes of Nine after they voted off Candace and Rupert, or voted off Candace and Laura, and then Rupert took her spot. So it was lopsided in the guys' favor where there was five guys and only four women. So once they make a Five Guys Alliance, now it's just, you know, pick which of the four women Brad Culpepper wants to get out of the game the most. And she just happened to be that person. So I do feel like that she has a bit of extenuating circumstances.
And she was so young as well that season. So give her a few years.
Yeah. And also, don't forget about how her uncle ended up pissing off her whole tribe when he said,
"Don't let that fool you, baby! Don't let that fool you!"
Yeah. It didn't fool them. Yeah. It didn't fool them. Okay.
I jump every time you play that.
All right. So now we come back to you, Angie. Pick number 10, your third pick overall.
Okay. In this choice, I'm pretty sure he's going to play it exactly the same way he played it the first time. Yeah, pretty sure. But I just cannot leave David Samson on the board.
Samson, yes. I want to talk to Samson. Yes.
Yeah.
There he is.
So here's the thing. I thought, again, he was put on the spot. He had to randomly choose the weakest player in the tribe, and he chose someone who was obviously not weak. And I thought that was a very, I don't think it was necessarily smart, but I understood what he was doing. He was trying not to actually target someone who was weak. He thought it would be like, well, it's obvious that Garrett isn't. Maybe I could play this off later, or maybe he's assuming that because this person's so strong, they're going to assume they're the strongest, but really they're the weakest. I don't know what he was thinking. But I can sort of follow the train of thought. Had that not happened, I think he would have been just fine. I just think it was a weird turn of events where Jeff put him on the spot. I hate it when Jeff forces people to be the leader and then makes them, you know, make some grandiose decision that ultimately gets them voted out of the game. I think it's really, really unfair.
He's such an intriguing player in this season because you really have a lot of people that are going to be out there who are not Survivor masterminds. But this is a guy who is... by all accounts, a pretty smart guy. And I think his weakness is that he's overthinking a million times too fast. So how much is that going to hurt him in the game where he's sort of like, we're playing, you know, checkers in the first 3 days of the game and he's playing three-dimensional chess and ending up getting himself into a bad spot?
I agree. I think that's his weakness for sure. He's one of these men that are just a little bit too aggressive as well. So if he can just try and you know, take it down 1,000, he might be okay.
Kurt, coming out of the season that we just went through, how much do we need to be looking at the Michelle Fitzgerald factor of can a player where we sort of have like undervalued the social game over the years, I think, you know, a guy who does not really seem to have that level to his game? Can he win a season?
I don't mean it could be a, it could be a case where, you know, right out of the gate, he's still trying to get to know people. You know, there are just some individuals out there who, you know, I'm sure that amongst people he knows, he's probably, you know, very, you know, kind and warm and social. And it's just maybe the fact that immediately out of the gate with new people, he stumbles. If he's able to make some moves that keeps him around for, you know, 3 to 4 rounds, he could end up like warming up to his tribe. He might actually kind of just become naturally social amongst these strangers. I think that he kind of had the same. I think he was actually on my kind of second round, my B team of picks. I think he had the same thing as So Kim, where he made a mistake, but it was learnable. So I do not disagree with this pick.
Okay. Sarah, what do you think of the David Sampson pick?
I mean, everything says logical, but yeah, he is an overplayer. That's sort of my big thing against him. I wouldn't have taken him for that reason. He's got some sort of upsides, but I don't think he's got enough reasons for people to keep him around.
Yeah. I feel like his best case scenario is that he sits in front of an extremely angry jury.
I don't think he even gets there. I don't think people. I've also said
the best case scenario.
Yeah. It's an impossible scenario, in my view.
Like, I think he just, like, the best case scenario is just gets reamed out by a bunch of people, like, who do you think you are? How dare you? Yeah. So I think that that's going to be an interesting story to watch. He has to be in the season. You need him on this season. I think it would be, but he's the villain of the season. And I don't think he potentially.
There's no not drafting him. There's no not drafting him.
Yeah. All right. So we're back to me, pick number 11. And we're in the back half of this draft officially now. And so I will end up going with, I'm torn between two people here on my board, but I am going to go with somebody. And Sarah, I'm interested to know what your take is, because I know this is one of the seasons you recently watched, but I felt like that this was a bad decision by her tribe when they voted her out. And I thought that she was somebody who, okay, maybe she did some wacky things like eating a grasshopper on the first day when there was absolutely no reason to do so. But I thought that she was the strong leader that her disaster of a tribe needed. And they got rid of her and they paid the price. And I think that Yolanda needs another shot. No Yolanda love.
Oh, I like Yolanda. This is the person who kickstarted the Yulong tribe. You know,
well, them not listening to her is what then getting rid of her was what kickstarted the tribe.
She was literally the first person on that tribe, and she started that whole chain of events. Yulong.
Yeah, but it wasn't. I don't know how much you could blame her.
Well. I'm just saying. The Yulong.
I like Yolanda. I think that I thought she was a very strong pick.
Is it Yolanda or Jolanda? I never know if you're supposed to pronounce the J or not.
Oh,
I think it depends on the person.
Okay,
I think it's Jolanda Jones.
Yeah, that'll be it.
Well, however you say it, she's my pick here at number 11. Okay,
who does she fit in with? Where does she go? Which group is she in with?
Millennials or Gen Xers?
No, just in general. Who among the first boots is the likely ally for Yolanda? That was because when I was looking at her, I mean, I can see she's got a lot of sort of pros to her, but it's like, who does she mesh with?
Or even looking at your tribe, does she get along with Jessica and Tina up?
Well, I didn't know that I'm building a tribe.
Yeah, I thought we were having cross tribes.
Yeah, this is just people that are in random, you know, some sort of random generator. See. Yeah.
I thought we were building four tribes of five, and we're going to go with this.
Oh, that's why you were picking a bunch of guys that are the same?
What do you mean? I picked So Kim and Ryan.
Yeah, and Brooke.
No, I picked Brooke.
He was on your list.
Okay, but that being said, no, I think that, you know, put these names out into the simulator and see what the tribes end up coming out on.
Is that my arch nemesis, the simulator?
Yes. <yeah. laughs> But I feel like Yolanda is, you know, is pretty solid. We don't know that she did not demonstrate anything that shows me that she is a disaster of a player. She was on, he was the first person out of a disaster tribe. And then I think also felt like, see, that look what you guys did because you didn't have me. But I think that we don't know what her upside could be.
Her greatest downfall was that she made Stephanie mad. And that's not hard to do.
Yeah. Yeah. That almost makes me like her more.
Yeah.
That she didn't get along with Stephanie.
Yeah, that's upside. Yeah. She is Stephanie upside.
Kurt, now you get your third and fourth pick right here in a row. Number 12 and number 13. Oh, the final pick of the third round and then the first pick of the fourth round.
Do I go for my question marks? Do I go for my soundboard? Do I go for like kissing up for the listeners? Because I have three different routes I could really, really go here. Okay, I'm going to do a little bit of a mix and match here. I'm going to go away from my original draft order. At number three for my team, I am going to go with somebody who is actually a pretty big question mark in my head. I am actually going to go with One World's Courtney Moon.
Okay, M-O-O-N, that spells Moon. She did not get voted out of the game. I think that's an interesting way to go. I don't know if she would have been voted out first if she did not get her arm hurt in that first challenge.
If she had listened to Jeff.
Yeah.
It's going to be Christina, right? Wasn't it? They thought. It was going to be Christina, I think, who was if they'd had the tribal council, if Courtney hadn't been mad about, they'd gone with the tribal council. I believe it was meant to be Christina, the vote.
You know, I feel like I've asked Kim this the last time that we did an interview, and I feel like she was sort of non-committal about it.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah,
it's too far past.
Oh, sorry.
It's just too far past history by this point, sir. So.
Yeah, and so I think this is somebody who, the very fact that it was an injury and kind of a medevac, she seemed to be, you know, very pleasant, very sociable. And this is really me, I think, when I was looking at my list, like, who are the people that I know just enough not about them that they could make for an interesting season potentially. And I'm perfectly fine going with kind of that question mark who could potentially perform well against people who have fewer question marks after their name, who have more strikes against them. So that's why I kind of went with Courtney as a person who could potentially surprise us in the positive way.
Angie, any thoughts on Courtney with a K?
She was pretty high up on my list as well. I agree. I like these ones that are completely blank slates. We have no idea. Mm-hmm. She could be amazing at this game. And, you know, she just had a reflex to put her hand down for 2 seconds and it cost her the game.
Yeah, she could be okay. But I just get the sense that I didn't think that she was fitting in with her tribe at that point. I mean, she wasn't in that group of five that came together on the way back to camp. And I just feel like that she's a little antisocial with the other players. I don't know if she's necessarily.
Keep in mind, though, that it wasn't it Alicia who went around and handpicked that group of,
yes,
like,
I think they were all just walking together. I don't know if they necessarily.
I think Alicia was the one who came up and gathered them, yes, all. And I don't trust her judgment of character at all. So that's,
how
that's,
dare you, that's the, Angie?
If that's the only strike against her, then I'm.
Courtney seemed to get on well with the, you know, Alicia sort of picked the in crowd and Courtney did well with the misfits. And this is going to be a season that's very misfit heavy.
That's
so
true.
I think she'll go far. My big concern with Courtney is that I don't know if her heart's in it.
You know? Yeah. I got the feeling she was not super keen on Survivor coming out of that season. So yeah. I don't know necessarily if she wants to go through this, but I guess that we shouldn't concern ourselves with that. So yeah, she's a wild card. She's an unknown.
Every player in this draft is going to be so shell-shocked. They're going to be like deer in the headlights when they land on the beach. Like, oh, but God.
Everybody else has something to prove and Courtney doesn't, I don't think. So she's everybody got less motivation than most.
Everybody is going to hit the beach and wonder why they are playing with a bunch of first-time players because they won't recognize anybody else who's played.
Yes. All right. So we are through three rounds now in the draft. Kurt, there are only eight picks left in the draft. You have the first of those final eight with the first pick in round four.
Okay. I am going to go with somebody who brings a bit of what I think would bring a bit of physicality to the tribe. And I'm hoping that, you know, is with a tribe of laid back enough people potentially that, some, potentially leadership issues would be ignored. And this is a tribe that actually would probably need a leader. Let's go to the soundboard for Steve Chicken Morris.
Wow. Damn, it's Chicken Morris.
Yes.
So, Kurt, you feel like the Chicken Morris could win this season?
I think he could. Again, I think some of the what I think I earlier in the draft referred to as personality defects, but which are really just more kind of like getting out the kind of social bumps in the game early. I think that, again, if he could make it through a couple rounds, he'll kind of find his groove. Mm-hmm. And I think he would be a good social asset to the game. I think that he could hold his own in challenges later on, individually when it becomes more important to do so. I think that I see upside in good old Steve.
Sarah, do you see downside in Chicken Morris?
Of course, he's not on my team. Of course. Of course I see downside in him. Okay, Chicken's downside, he's a single dad. And he's in his 50s.
Whoa.
Yeah, what? That's the downside of Chicken Morris?
Where is this going?
Any single dad listeners, do not vote for Sarah.
No, what I'm saying is there are a lot of ladies in their 50s on this cast who are also single. He's going to get distracted. A showman is going to be his undoing. Tim Bettina,
Chicken
Yolanda.
Man.
You know, this is... he's going to go... I think he's going to go far, but ultimately one of those ladies is going to pull the wool over his eyes. It's going to be Eric Reichenbach all over again.
Wow. They let the chicken in the hen house. I don't know if that's... I don't know. Okay.
So oldest showmance ever is what we have in the works here.
Yes.
Wow. I mean, that'd be interesting. We've never explored that.
You know, this is, you know, the baby boomers are allowed some action here.
Wait, how do we know Chicken is still single?
Okay, if any readers, any listeners, see, I'm used to blogging. If any listeners write in and point out that he's actually got married 3 years ago, stop ruining my narrative.
Well, I got to be honest. I'm friends with the aforementioned Chicken Morris on Facebook, and his profile is listed as single.
Oh, there we go.
Chicken, are you single
Facebook
and ready to mingle?
Never lies.
Yeah. Yeah. I was wondering if he was also ready to mingle.
All right, Angie, how are you feeling about the Chicken pick?
I think that's a weak pick.
Oh no,
I think that's very, very weak. I don't think he's going very far.
Why? Why do you think it's so bad?
Because he's one of these people that has no neutral. Like he's either he's going like the neutral box. He has no neutral box to open. He's going full throttle or he's in like completely in park. So either he's running the show or he's not giving any opinion at all. And he seems to really rub everyone the wrong way. And his social game.
Yeah. You were saying
learnable mistakes. I feel like that is fundamental to his personality. And that's why I think that's a weak pick.
Yeah, so we were talking about him actually in the Australian Survivor recap the other day. So what was the issue with him over at John Who, where it was like he knew how to do a bunch of stuff, but he didn't want to come across as bossy, so he didn't say anything?
I'm trying to remember because I didn't just rewatch this one as freshly as the other ones, but I thought he had a lot of opinions. People didn't like that. So then he's like, well, I'm not going to say anything anymore because I don't want to. And then he flat out refused. They would say, please tell us what you think. And he said, no.
I actually don't like you, Kat.
Yeah.
Australian
Survivor shout out. Yeah. So yeah, poor Chicken. All right. So here he is. Chicken gets picked by Kurt Clark. How about that?
And I'll just say, Angie, my draft has two choices on the soundboard, and yours only has one. So step
aside. Is there points for that? There's the points for that?
That's what I'm counting.
Okay.
No.
All right. Boy, I wish we had more than five rounds. I feel like I'd have a lot of people I could still end up picking. A lot of good picks that are still out there on the board. All right. It's the season of the first boots. I wonder, there's so many different wild cards out there. I'm going to go with somebody again. I can make a boring pick here, but I mean, I feel like then what's the fun in that? I wonder, there is a person that I feel like somewhere along the way was somewhere between Russell Hantz and Tony Vlachos, and somehow someone just got sort of pulled off the track. And I wonder maybe 30 days of CrossFit or something like that before he goes out there might change the story.
Oh, no.
Is it possible? Could Zane Knight run circles around these first boots? You know, maybe not against Malcolm and Denise, but in a season of first boots, could he be the Tony Vlachos of Survivor First Boot?
No.
No.
This is shameless photo pandering, Rob. You don't think he can win. You just know people like him.
How dare you, Sarah?
If he's given up smoking, then I would say yes.
Okay. That's what we have to find out.
Yes.
I will work with him. I will be his sponsor. Zane, anytime you need a cigarette, you call me. We will talk this through. We're going to do some light cardio before you go out there.
I mean, can I just say, he did worse at the first challenge than Courtney Moon did. You know, she just unfortunate reflex. He nearly collapsed from running a short distance.
We need to work on that. But I kind of feel like, I felt like his social game was there. The strategic game, he's got to throttle it back. But he had everybody really felt good about him at one point.
It's just they all felt bad about him at the same point.
Too soon.
Rob, are you volunteering to be his personal trainer? Do you have any experience in that field?
Rob did say light cardio.
Light cardio. I could get him up to my level of physical fitness, which is not dying on Survivor.
That is true. You looked okay out there.
Yeah.
Wasn't his game so derivative, though? Wasn't he just taking a page right out of Russell's playbook and saying, I'm going to make an alliance with every single person?
Yes, but he was likable. People really, they liked him. And she didn't
want
him to go.
Goofy.
They liked him for 3 days. That's not the same as still liking him 36 days later.
Zane Knight was great. He was a legend.
Do you really think he can argue a case at Tribal Council? I mean, I'm willing to see Zane in the finals because that would be amazing. But
I think he'd give a great speech in the final Tribal Council.
I really do. Zane Knight can improve.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about changing somebody's life with a vote for them to win. I mean, that real. You vote for Zane. Vote for Zane Knight, our knight in shining armor.
No.
So there you go. All right. Zane Knight is my pick in the fourth round.
Okay.
All right. Angie, we're back to you.
Okay, back to me. And probably the most controversial pick of the evening.
That you have a high bar to clear for that one.
I can hear everyone now like, Angie, you had it on lock until you picked Francesca.
No, I disagree. I think that's a really good pick. I was going back and forth between Zane and Francesca. All right, make the case for Francesca.
I love Franny. I think the reason why she got voted out on the 2.0 was simply because, like in Big Brother, once you put someone up as a pawn, they're an easy target again and again and again. I don't think it had anything to do with her gameplay the second time. So I do think that she's really smart and she's very likable and she knows not to be too aggressive now. And I think she learned her lesson. And she is so humble at this point. I think she's going to ride it all the way to the end.
And Philip won't be playing.
The biggest thing I think working in Francesca's favor is that she hasn't just played the game 3 days like everybody else here on this list. She's played it six. And she's also had
for
six
twice
days
as long
on Redemption Island also. So she's been in the mix for a total of like 12 days on Survivor, which is, I could tell you, is a very long period of time. And
she knows what's up.
Yeah. And honestly,
trust me on this.
I was joking about earlier, most of these people will probably not know that she was actually voted out first twice.
Well, no, I think they will.
If that's
I think they will, Kurt, because I think if you're a first boot, I think you're very sort of aware of that. And then when you hear that somebody got it twice, like, ooh.
Okay, that's a possibility. That's a possibility.
Not ill, no, for sure.
The biggest problem for Francesca in this season is the temptation for people to say, let's just vote her out again. If she gets to day four in this season, I think she is golden. But I think that that temptation, if she is, because you have to be unlucky also to get voted out twice. You have to be on the tribe that loses the first challenge two different times.
Maybe she's that bad at challenges.
No, she's fine. That's actually one of her strongest suits.
She's fine at challenges.
When we talk about strong women, I think that she's actually one of the most physical. I mean, we haven't seen her in like a ton of different situations, but I don't think we've ever seen her be bad in a challenge. I mean, I remember in that first challenge in Karamoan, she's like, is she with like Cochran out there? And she's like, you know, very good in that sort of like wrestling the inner tube away challenge.
But at the same time, she has played three challenges and lost them all. So,
yes,
she has the worst track record.
Well, she's also been to Redemption Island, also.
But that's what I mean. Three challenges.
Yeah. Well, I was counting that inner tube challenge as one of the challenges she's been to. But either
she's basically a badass.
Yeah, but
all she has to do is win the first challenge. If she wins the first challenge, then she won't be the first boot again, and then nobody's thinking about getting rid of her.
There is another strike against Francesca.
What's that?
Well, there is somebody with an axe grind against Francesca, and it's all your fault, Rob. Wendy Jo, at first chance she gets, she's going to write down Francesca's name, look into the camera, and say, who's the worst player now, Sestanino?
You think Wendy Jo is following anything we're doing that closely?
You think somebody hasn't told her?
Yeah, that was my pick for the bottom of your list. I remember that as well.
Yeah, that's a strong guess, Kurt. All right. So, Sarah, do you feel like that Francesca is a reach here at number 15?
I think she's a logical choice, but I think Wendy Jo's out for blood.
It's testing the narrative power of the Survivor gods way too much for my liking.
It is.
Right. That's the only reason why I didn't pick her over Zane was I felt like that she's such an easy target on the board. If she is eligible for tribal council at that first vote, she gets voted off first for the third time.
Yeah.
It's a risky move for sure.
You can't help yourself if she's sitting there, but she could win that challenge, especially in this season where we're probably having three tribes, maybe even four tribes with all these people. The odds are likely that she would at least win a first challenge for the first time ever.
Well, that's the thing. She's got to win. If there's one thing that studying for this draft taught me is like any tiny little reason to throw someone's name out there and you're done.
Anything could go wrong. All right. Sarah, you have pick number 16, your final pick of the fourth round.
Yep. And I'm doing it. I'm taking Wendy Jo.
Whoa. At number 16, this might be the biggest reach in the draft. At number 16, why Wendy Jo? Why do you feel like Wendy Jo could win another season?
All right. You're just thinking of who's a good player in a vacuum. You have to think of the overall narrative here. You've got to channel your inner Penner. Think of the whole season. Now, as I said, Wendy Jo, axe to grind. You know, everybody's got something to prove this season. Wendy Jo has the most to prove. She has been called out as the worst Survivor player of all time. This was 3 years ago.
Yeah, my husband said the same thing. He said I would be the worst Survivor player of all time, too.
She was in the military, Rob. She has spent the past 3 years honing her body and mind for the chance to go back.
And did anybody ask me how old I am yet?
She's 53, I checked.
53. Yeah. And my feet don't even have blisters on them.
Yeah, she's tough. There are a lot of, as I said before, a lot of older ladies this season. Wendy's right in there with that mix. She's a goat farmer, so she can bond with Chicken, the chicken farmer. But she's going to be immune to his siren call because she's married.
She's married.
Yes. She is going to head up the ultimate older person alliance, and she is going to blaze a trail through this season, much like Lil. But unlike Lil, she's got that military strength to her, so she is going to hold it together. Take it to the end. She is my winner pick.
All right. Sarah, are you pranking us right now?
No. Wendy Jo was the only person I did not come up with a con with because I knew nobody else was going to take her. But no, I am seriously taking Kurt. I think this is a narrative that cannot be argued with.
Okay. Kurt? Thoughts on Wendy Jo?
I'm just going to sit here laughing. I thought that I had the worst pick with Ryan. Wow. No. Good luck.
Okay. I mean, if you disagree with that, my team still got Nadia, Brooke, and Marissa. So I'm okay taking Wendy Jo. I think she's a dark horse, but I think she's got it in her.
At one point, when we were thinking of drafting full teams, I was like, there need to be at least two people on my team that are kind of the sacrificial lambs for the first two tribals. And I was thinking about drafting Wendy Jo at that time.
Mm-hmm. Angie, anything you want to add to the Wendy Jo pile on?
Who am I to judge Wendy Jo's chances and her life journey and how she has come into be and discovered herself in the military? I had no idea she'd gone through this transformation. So all the power to Wendy Jo. Yeah.
Wendy Jo might be my next new favorite Rob impression.
Josh Wiggler does a much better Wendy Jo than I do. I'm sort of like doing an impression of Josh Wiggler Wendy Jo. And she was the first ever exit interview in the history of Rob's Podcast as a little trivia question.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes. We should post the link to that.
And this
in
is
the
how
comments.
You treat her, Rob. How dare you?
Yes.
She will be the first ever exit interview from Survivor First Boots.
Yeah, I think she was talking about in the exit interview, like, yeah, I don't even know who Beyonce is. Like, well, I don't know what they're talking about. Okay.
See, she's been busy training for Survivor.
Too busy training. Okay, so there are four picks left. Everybody has one last pick to go. Kurt, you are back at the top of the draft board. Who is your fifth and final pick, number 17 on the board?
It's ironic you say that because I'm actually going to go for the person who is 17th on my list. I'm changing things up majorly here.
Wow.
My number three pick is still on the board. I'm ignoring my number three pick because I want the viewers to have somebody they can root for. I want the viewers to have what I consider to be a fan favorite on this season. So I am going to make the questionable yet lovely decision of Miss Deb Eaton for my last spot.
Deb Eaton. Okay. Yes. Yes. Deb Eaton. That pick rocks, Kurt.
I see what you did there.
yes.
I think it would be a crime if she was not drafted. I think that that this is something. I mean, I'm steering into the curve here and picking good old Deb.
Okay. Wow. So there you go. Deb Eaton and Angie, what is your response to that?
I think this has completely gone off the rails and you people have all lost your minds.
Angie, you think that this should have been a three-round draft?
I think that there's still really good people on the board and I don't understand what you guys are doing.
Okay. Debbie?
Yeah, she just, I don't think she'll do any differently than she did the first time. I think she'd be awkward and bossy and get voted out first all over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kurt, is it that you feel like Deb is going to be able to do? She comes into this season. There's eight other first boots on the tribe. But why do you feel like that she's going to be the person who is going to persevere?
I think amongst all of these first time boots, she's one of the people who's been a little bit more connected to the fan community. I think she senses that there is
not really, though.
I think there's a lot of Deb love out there. And
there's
I think
a lot of Deb love
think,
out there, but it's not because she's been connected to the community. It's almost like absence makes the heart grow fonder, where it's sort of like she's sort of like been like a J.D. Salinger type figure.
Exactly. And I think there's just going to be this mythic halo about her as she plays Survivor for her second time.
Let me ask you, hold on, Kurt.
Yes, yes.
How is that mythic halo for Kelly Wigglesworth in Cambodia?
Got her to the merge.
I guess so.
But Deb is from Australia, which does tend to fare better in returnee seasons. I'll keep that.
Somebody from Australia always makes the finale, Kurt.
That's true.
And again, in a season, you said it before, in a season full of misfits, I think this is the season where Deb fits in.
Okay.
isn't she like 5,000 years old?
No, I think she looks
older. She's in her
older 60s, than...
I think. I think she's 61 or something.
Yeah, I don't think she's that old.
And my cons for Debbie was C Pro. I had the same thing in both sections. So, but She knows Jeff Varner. She's chumming with him, so she's going to get gaming advice from Jeff Varner. So,
oh, then she might go out earlier.
Mull that one over a bit. She's also the best shelter builder since Rupert. So.
Yeah. All right. Wow. Dev Eaton. Tabulator has lost his damn mind. All right. Let's go. Three more picks in the wacky first boot draft. It's back to me. Pick number 18. So to add to my squad, there's really a couple of people that I could go with at this point, but I think there's only one person that I think actually could win the season of all these people. I have to go with another woman, and the woman who is often mistaken to be my lovely wife. And give me Nicole Delma, because I just don't know if we know enough about her. I think she's the last person that's left on the board that's truly one of these blank slate people, that she didn't really do anything to disqualify herself to be the winner of the season. For whatever reason, Andrew Savage decided that she was going to be the person to go. And, you know, we know he never makes sort of a rash decision. And she sort of like, oh, she said something, or like it was sort of like a little bit of telephone game where she told Tawana something and it got back to Andrew Savage and they knew she was lying. So they voted her off. And who knows how she would have done in another season. She seems like a perfectly normal, intelligent person. Give me Nicole Delma with my last pick.
Excellent choice.
Yeah. That's a steal at number 18 in the first booth.
Yeah, no, she was pretty high up on my list.
I was value tempted pick. To take her earlier, but I felt Wendy Jo was a better pick.
Yeah.
Clearly.
I think the main thing is that she's not somebody who caught a bad break. She got voted out of the first tribal council because she was playing too hard. She was untrustworthy. So, you know, nobody should be
correctable. Correctable
it's
mistake.
Correctable, but you know, it's nobody should be doing that. Not the first tribal council. So
seems like she'd be perfectly fine in the challenges, and I think that the social game is probably going to be fine, good enough. We don't know what she could be ultimately. So I think that compared to the rest of the field that's out there, I think she is head and shoulders above the rest. And that's why I will take, once again, Nicole Delma.
I'm flashing forward to actually seeing this season and imagining 20 people all trying to play under the radar and like being afraid to open their mouths to anybody.
Whereas I was picturing a season where 75% of the people are playing too hard right out of the gate and it kind of cancels each other out.
I do think they should do this season. I don't think anybody is going to say, I'm not watching this season. Oh, what, first boots? Okay, I'll come back next season. I think that, for whatever reason.
There's so many fan favorites.
Yeah, CBS feels like they can't market this season. It would do exactly the same numbers as whatever else they would put on in its place.
Yeah, I would love this season. I would love to watch
it. It would be great. I hope that somebody who, one of the powers that be says, yeah, why not? Why not? Let's do it. The digital season. See, that was the digital season.
I was seeing this as potentially the answer to Big Brother's online season coming up. This would be definitely Survivor All Access Online.
Yes. Okay. All right. Pick number 19 is coming up here, and it belongs to you, Angie. Who do you like out of the rest of this motley crew?
Okay. So this was a last-minute addition to my board. I needed to rewatch to see what I finally thought of this guy. I thought, again, he got a bit of a raw deal, and I am, for my very last pick, I'm going with Pastor John from Thailand.
Ooh, Pastor John from Thailand.
Yeah. A little controversial. Yeah. So I found him to be like, again, he seemed like a really smart guy. He was the one who knew where the water was. He made a joke that did not go over well.
Did not play.
He would have been funny if his tribe hadn't sucked. Like if they had just been able to like hike to where the water is like he did, like he was not winded. He was not tired. He got there. Okay. Just because everyone else decided to swim like a marathon. And then they were all like, this isn't funny. By the time they got there, that's not on him.
So I don't know.
He just seemed like, well, he's my last pick for me.
Yeah.
But you know, I know that, you know, he did, he had some leadership skills. He seemed to be able to, you know, he seemed strong enough in the challenges. He did seem to know his way around the camp and being useful enough to not get voted off right away. I thought he deserved another chance.
Yeah, and yet they still got rid of him.
I will say that again, at the different charity events I've gone to, I did get to meet John at some of the earlier ones I went to, and an amazingly nice guy, and remembered me from event to event. So I one of the people that actually, as I went to further events, I looked forward to seeing him there. So in person, amazingly nice, and hopefully he wouldn't try to play a game too much. I think he could do well. I can't really disagree with this pick.
Sarah.
There you go. The tabulator says I win.
No, Sarah. Sarah,
that's the Clark curse in action.
Bring the realness. It's,
yes, the hand that gives also taketh away.
There's a bit of a meta con for John here. He, of all the first boots, he was the least popular in Reddit's recent popularity poll.
Ooh.
565. Actually, was he the least popular overall? He was really low.
Worse than Erica from Fiji?
Well, she's not a first boot. I'm not looking. I don't know where she came in. But.
That means he is not going to be targeted. He's gonna swim right under the radar. There.
I'm sure the Reddit top 550 will be a very big factor in all these decisions on the island.
Because this is the season where we have our first Redditor, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. But I'm sure that Chicken Morris will have the spreadsheet printed out before he goes. Damn, he's low.
And he didn't put in a good showing. You know, he was trying to be the leader. Nobody liked him. And this whole idea of, I'm not going to tell them where the water source is. That's really just piling
just to
on
be
the
fair,
reasons.
To be fair to the joke. What he did was there was like a muddy puddle and he came and told them like, hey, guys, I found the water. This is pretty gross, right? This is the water. And then he then said like bazinga, you've been pastored. This is where the well is. And they just did not think that was funny.
I wonder why.
They had to swim forever while he sat on the boat and waited for them. And that's why they were cranky, because they're like, this was like a long accident. It took them a long time. And then he's like, psych, there's no water here. So. That was not smart.
What I also said about him on the evolution strategy was that you had Tanya Vance, who was like the young woman on the tribe who was like deathly ill. And you had John, who was like a perfectly capable guy that was in the tribe. And they're like, no, let's keep the girl that's sick over him. Like, he must have been that annoying to them that they would even consider to get rid of him over somebody who like couldn't even keep water down at that point.
Mm.
Again, I think you just look for any reason to target someone who isn't you. Mm-hmm. And if like, he irritated a couple of people, let's latch on to him.
Got on Gandhi's nerves, but I think everybody was on board with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
She did not think he was funny. All right. So the final pick in the draft belongs to Sarah, who went with Wendy Jo on her previous rounds pick.
Which was an excellent pick.
How do you top Wendy Jo?
Well, I've also got the pressure now. I've got like the last person in the draft. So, it's like, who can we not leave undrafted here? And there's a couple of really good people who I think, deserve to be, these big characters who deserve to be on this draft. So I'm very tempted to take Wanda.
Yes.
Just because, I thought somebody was going to get her, but I've already done Wendy Jo, so I'm not going to take Wanda. That's too much in the same demographic. I am going to spread my wings a bit, and I will go with Peter Harkey.
Peter Harkey, yes.
Whoa!
The list would not be whole without Peter Harkey.
Yeah.
And here he is at number 20. I think that might have been my next pick off the board, Peter Harkey. Okay.
Yeah.
Why do you feel like Peter should win this season?
Are we chilling, Rob? Is that what we're
chilling.
Doing? Are we chilling?
We're chilling.
Okay, so Peter, he played before his time. He's like, the coach and Philip prototype. So he could be in for a very successful run as a leader of an alliance, and he seems like less crazy than those guys. So he could possibly win when he gets to the end. He does yoga. He's going to be fit. He had that alliance with Sean Rector, and Darnell compared himself to Sean Rector in his bio. So those two are a ready-made pair. He's going to get on with Courtney Moon as well. I think, yeah, I think he could do it.
Okay. I have nothing bad to say about Peter Harkey. I think that, you know, he was with a group that didn't quite get him. I don't think he did anything particularly bad. He talked about how your body has seven holes, and Boston Rob is like, this guy's a real fruitcake out here. So it didn't play in the room. Maybe with a different group of people, maybe they like him more. I met him. First survivor I ever met was Peter Harkey, and thought he seemed like a pretty nice guy. Only survivor to go to Boston Rob's wedding also.
Oh, there you go.
Another piece of trivia.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
apart from Amber.
Other than Amber. So, Angie, do you have anything positive or negative to say on the Peter Harkey front?
I agree with what's been said. He was a little too new agey for Merkasis, I would say, that Boston Rob doesn't seem dialed into that kind of thing. Yeah. So, yeah, he needed more of a Vetus kind of vibe going on.
All right, let's talk about the people that did not get picked very, very briefly. And let's just go down the list. And then you guys, any of you can just jump in briefly to talk about why they didn't get picked. Sonia, is it just she's too old at this point?
Too old. That's why I didn't choose her. Yeah.
Yeah. Sarah, is there a bias against women in their 70s on Survivor?
Yes, there is. There's never been one cast yet. So clearly production, what are you thinking?
Yes. So Sonia Christopher at this point, I mean, she was like the old person other than Rudy on the first season. She's 79 years old at this point.
Okay.
She could be Survivor's first octogenarian on the show.
I think.
But not in this season.
Survivor's first broken hip.
Yeah.
I
was thinking more of her own safety rather than my team's ability.
Yeah. Okay. The only pro I wanted with Sonia is that she has a ukulele, so she could be the music band at Ponderosa and make the videos.
She could be the music band at Ponderosa.
Yeah.
They should at least have her and Wanda, I think, on the boat for like when they, on the marooning, like sort of like play them off to go and begin the season.
Can we have each of the non-drafted people like host one of the challenges?
Yeah, sure.
They could be like the cheerleaders.
Yes. Okay. And then Diane Ogden does not get picked. Anybody have anything to say why Diane didn't make it? Diane.
She didn't ask for the beans. She didn't even want them.
Okay. Now you're penalizing her for Clarence wanting the beans? That seems unfair.
Yeah. She just threw him right under that bus. Yeah. Right under.
She would have been a good ally in the Women in Their 50s Alliance, but we already have plenty of those for Chicken to handle. So I don't think we need her.
All right. Wanda and Jonathan does not get picked. I think Wanda, to probably the surprise of few, ultimately does not get picked, but she does go on to become the patron saint of TEOS. But Jonathan, Kurt, he seems like a young, fit guy. Why doesn't he get picked?
He was number three on my list. It was just that Ryan was number two, and I was like, I can't justify having them both kind of fit the same kind of archetype in my head. But I thought he was a big enough question mark that I kind of wanted him on my team. And if I hadn't picked Deb, I would have picked Jonathan.
I think he did kind of have that. But Sarah, didn't everybody not like him also in addition to, I mean, he did not get picked by the group of 20 Survivor Palau players.
Not one person picked him for their tribe. And it's his destiny, I think.
Damning. You know, you understand why they didn't pick Wanda. Wanda's like, hey, nobody gave me a chance. But here's this young, fit guy. And they went out of their way not to pick him, Kurt.
Yeah.
But wasn't it because he leapt off the boat early to try to get to shore and gain some sort of advantage in, like,
Stephanie.
It was that, but it was also, Kobe said that Jonathan hadn't spoken to anyone. Okay. He was really isolating himself.
Yeah.
So he had nobody
bond. Liked him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Poor Jim Lynch. He hurts his arm on the first day in Guatemala. Does not get picked once again. Sarah, do you have any takes on Jim Lynch?
Like Sonia, really, really old now.
He's really old.
He's already broken one bone for Survivor. Let's not...
Yeah, he didn't even make it 3 days 10 years ago.
Poor Poor Jim.
Poor Jim Lynch. Sekou Bunch. I came dangerously close to picking Sekou in the fifth round just so I could name my team the Sekou Bunch. He does not get picked. I argued in the evolution strategy. I didn't think Sekou was quite as bad as potentially his reputation is. Angie, do you have a take on Sekou?
Nope. I left him on the board. I thought he was terrible.
He's terrible, but not offensively terrible.
I recall him being relatively offensive. Wasn't he kind of sexist?
Well, I didn't mean it in that, in like the politically correct version of offensively terrible. Yeah, he did that. The sin that he commits is that him and Nate, he's in a tribe of five, two men and three women, and him and Nate sort of make the decision in front of the women about, I forget.
Again.
Yeah. It's a bad math again.
Yes.
Yeah, a bad math. He suffered from bad math. And I meant terrible in the survivor sense, not in the general, sociological sense. Yeah.
All right. So he's in the band with Sonia and Wanda to play the survivors off. Survivor!
That's it. That's his role.
Yeah. All right. Also, Michelle Chase does not get picked. Kurt, any thoughts on Michelle Chase?
Came close.
I came close too.
And she was such a sourpuss.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is again the can the personality be learned? I mean, she wasn't weak. So I don't like if the theme for this season is this is the time where the misfits fit in. I think this is also the time where those people who can't stand misfits stick out and get chopped. I think she might be one of those people.
All right. And then Carolina does not get picked on the board. Angie?
I thought she had a bit of the Abby factor. I thought she could have gotten in and then been one of those people that just kind of skated through because everyone's like, well, no one's ever going to vote for her to win $1 million. So she just never gets gone.
Steven has told me, both on and off the record, she was so terrible. She was a total disaster.
I'm not arguing with
total disaster. Crazy Carolina. Yeah. He did not think that she was very good. And he says that as high as I have her on my first boot rankings, she should be lower. She was offensively terrible. And the only other person that did not get picked here is Semhar. Semhard luck for Semhar, Sarah.
Yes. not much to say about Semhar. I think she can't be in the band because she's into the spoken word, isn't she? But maybe she can be like the coach before the challengers, inspiring right. them.
Do you know what I was thinking about with Semhar though? Like this was a while ago, so she was super flaky back in the day. But now, she's probably like crashed and burned with her career as a beat poet. She's probably gotten strung out on drugs
Don't say that.
She's probably like an ultrasound technician somewhere. I'm perfectly capable of winning Survivor.
She was going through a phase.
I'll check my Facebook. I don't think ultrasound technician is exactly right.
My first ever LA finale at the post party. I remember Semhar standing on top of the bar and trying to do spoken word to a room full of people who were not listening.
I see America drinking. No.
Okay. Exactly.
It's a very old reference, a real Gen X reference. All right. So finally now, Angie, one more question. If Sugar Kuiper was on the board, at what point would you have taken her?
Never. No, she would I would not never have take
the
her.
Top 20. Kurt? Are you taking Chicken Morris or Sugar Kuiper at 13?
Give me chicken over sugar. I'm sticking paleo on this one.
Deb Eaton or sugar?
Eaton chicken, no sugar.
I would take Deb over
Sarah,
over sugar too.
Are you taking sugar before Wendy Jo at 16?
Of course not. Wendy Jo is the winner. All my people are stronger than Sugar because they are the top five first boots.
Would she have been in the top 20?
No.
Oh, boy. I don't know. I mean, I think that she just has it both ways, especially if we're picking somebody. Like, she's probably a better player than some of the people that got drafted, but we've seen her be a first boot in a season. We've also seen her make it to the end and get no votes in front of a jury. So it's hard to imagine the scenario where she makes it to the end again and can win off of that. Like, we've seen almost everything there is to see, I feel.
Yeah, and I think...
Yeah, there's nothing left.
I think also... Joking aside... I just don't want to... put sugar through that again.
Yes, okay.
There's a sympathy non-drafting.
Yes.
I was rooting for her in Heroes versus Villains. And again, somebody I've met at the charity events and actually was been very kind. I in terms of drafting her for this, I think she, you know, if she was the only returnee, she would stick out like a sore thumb and would be a huge target. So in terms of would I draft her? No, because I think she has the lowest chance of winning as somebody who would kind of stick out on that front.
Yeah. All right. Well, this was so much fun. Let me give you guys the teams, and then Kurt is going to open up the polls. Of course, he will help me once again get my poll up for this. And then, of course, you guys will have the option of the field as well. So you will be able to cast your vote for Sonya and Wanda and Jonathan and the rest.
If the field wins, do we all die?
Yes. All right. Shut so, Sarah,
don't give people ideas, Sarah.
Yeah, Sarah, your team is very top heavy with Nadia Anderson, and then it all goes downhill from there. I shouldn't editorialize. Brooke Garrity, Marissa. No, that's good. Marissa's good. And then Wendy Jo and Peter Harkey.
The season, Wendy Jo.
Yeah. Okay. I think every other round, I think you had a good pick there. And then we go to Angie. Your pick is Marissa from Samoa. She could have been great. I could have made her something. But now she's on the first boot list because I put her there. All right. Marissa, King Darnell. And then you went with David Sampson, Francesqua, and John Raymond. It's a good lineup.
I'm feeling very strong about that. Very strong.
All right. Then Kurt.
Stay with the
Clark
face,
Kirst
Rob.
Team is Ryan Aiken,
yes.
So Kim, Courtney Moon, Chicken Morris, Deb Eaton.
Yes, sir.
That's the team you put out there with your life on the line.
Yes, sir.
All right. And my team is Timber Tina, Jessica DeBenn, Jolanda, Zane Knight, and Nicole Delma. Somebody's coming home with the gold. And then the field team, the team that you can vote for, that is the team that nobody picked, is the combination of Sonya, Diane, Wanda Jonathan, Jim Lynch, Michelle Chase, Carolina, Semhar, and rounded out with the Sekou Bunch. They are the Sekou Bunch. That's the name of the field team, the Sekou Bunch. You can vote for them as well.
So the question for the poll is, correct me if I'm wrong, which team has the winner of Survivor First Boots? Not who has drafted the most ridiculously entertaining first team.
No. With the winner of the first boot season is on which team?
Or the field.
Or the field. Yes, so it's our four teams and then the field. Is it Survivor First Boots? Is that the name of the season, Kurt?
Angie, I'm going to actually defer to her. She's the
branding expert.
Yes.
It's the first boot season. Survivor First Boots. Okay. We can't do second chances. That's late.
You can't do worse than Millennials versus Gen X.
No.
Yeah. Survivor, people who were voted out first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Versus other people voted out first.
Okay. Versus other people, yeah.
Yeah, all right. So this is going to be very, very fun. This was a blast. I know this hour and 45 minutes went by very quickly.
Yes.
All right. So, all right. Great stuff. All right. Let me get all of your Twitter handles and whatnot. Of course, Kurt, you are on Twitter at Kurt Clark. You working on anything fun these days?
No, not really. Not right now. Just kind of awaiting the return of Once Upon a Time this fall, but that's probably not going to be until October.
Yes, rounding out the Celebrity Big Brother UK.
Yes, it ends this Friday, and Frankie Grande is in the six-person finale. So we will see, and half of the finale is actually made up of Americans. So we will see who ends up taking home the gold.
Yes, are you jealous of Sarah, who has no idea what a Frankie Grande is?
Just a little.
Who wants to shine bright like a Frankie?
Sorry, did I speak for you? Yes, you don't know. Do you know what a Frankie Grande is?
I know his sister is Ariana Grande, and that's the reason I know who Ariana Grande is. Because I know there's a guy called Frankie Grande who's her brother.
So jealous. So jealous. All right. Angie, of course, we will hear from her in the next couple of weeks on the podcast as we get ready for the Millennials versus Gen X. She is at Angie Kontz on Twitter. Angie, anything else that you're doing these days?
No, I'm just trying to get through summer with kids. That's all.
Okay. All right. Well, that's, believe me, it's
it's not easy.
It isn't. Not easy. And of course, Sarah is hard at work with the other bloggers working on a Survivor 33 preview. She is on Twitter at Channon Sarah.
Yep. And obviously my Wendy Jo story is basically warm up for figuring out what these millennials and Gen Xers are going to be doing. So
yes. Yeah. All right. So very excited to get into all of the Survivor 33 preseason stuff. Actually, later on tonight, Nicole and I are going to begin the long preview that we're going to be doing of the two tribes that we're going to break it up into two different shows. The preview that I do with Nicole. So I believe that later on tonight, we're going to be talking millennials. So looking forward to that. Plus, we're going to have more preseason stuff coming up along the way. Plus, Stephen Fishback and I just got together for our first ever Australian Survivor Know-It-Alls this past Monday. I thought that was a lot of fun, Australian Survivor, and the podcast was fun as well. So if you can get your hands on some Australian Survivor, definitely check that out. And plus, we've got all of the Big Brother 18 still coming down the stretch, 4 weeks left of Big Brother. So make sure you don't miss any of it. Go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes for the subscription feed. And of course, we love to hear what you guys have to say in the comments. Plus, we will have the link where you can vote on which team has the winner if you go to robhasawebsite.com/firstboot. There you go. All right. Anything else?
No.
All right.
No, I think that was
All right. Have a good one, everybody. Take care.